This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
We are back. Welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz. I know it's been a bit of time. Here we are. I am beyond excited to give you guys some amazing news. I've been saving it for you because it is just that good. So here it is. Everyone Talks to Liz is now ranked in the top 5% of all podcasts. Okay, there are so many podcasts, tens of thousands, thousands. You have to understand, this is every bit as much your success as it is mine. I mean, this was such good news at a time when I think we're all shredded to ribbons lately from all the upsetting, worrisome news, whether it's war or politics, inflation, health concerns, you name it, we're all suffering from some version of it. I am far from immune. You guys know I'm very open about this. You have no idea what the last couple of weeks have been like, but recently I really felt like the world was just crashing down around me. So I jumped on the internet in search of the best medicine ever, and that is laughter. I put two words in the search bar, Joan and Rivers. And there she was on YouTube, the most irreverent, who gives a damn, I'm saying it comic of all time. She was talking about her friends and how they all think their kids and their grandkids are gorgeous. And she would say, right, all my friends, oh, my grandson, he's so gorgeous. They want him in a diaper ad. He's so adorable. And then Joan would follow up with, yeah, they want him in a diaper ad as a turd. She was so much fun. As the clips continued, I realized today in this era where jokes are immediately conflated to serious social violations, followed by accusations of, I mean, who knows what, insensitivity, sexism, racism, and more. Could Joan Rivers reach the same level of success that she did during her multi-decade career? If anyone knows the answer, it's someone who knew her better than anyone else and not only survived being, you know, at the edge of many of Joan's jokes, but thrived to become a successful TV host, producer, mom, and lifestyle entrepreneur herself. Let me welcome Joan's daughter, Melissa Rivers. Melissa, welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
First of all, congratulations are in order. You just got engaged. You have to tell me everything.
Oh, God, what is there to tell? I was very vocal about that I would never get married again. And apparently hell does freeze over. And I think it was also right time, right place, right person. I'm not sure if this would have been the right person even 5 years ago or 4 years ago, but it just... it works. And I'm not, I actually said to him the other night, this is the first time in a relationship that I don't worry.
Oh,
I don't worry. If I don't hear from him all day, I'm not worried. If he, I don't worry. And that's the first time in a relationship I've ever had that.
Because he's such a pillar. He's strong in almost every regard. Expound upon that. Why don't you worry?
I don't know about you, but I've not had great relationships. I had my relationship with my ex-husband, which was a long relationship, but only married for a very short amount of time. And then I had sort of two big relationships. I had lots of little mini relationships along the way, but I had two big relationships and they all ended so badly and were so unhealthy. Mm. And all those, and I hate saying unhealthy, you know, also like my new least favorite word is triggered. You know, as I often say to my son, the world isn't a safe space.
Yes.
Be prepared.
Well, boy, does that dovetail with how your mom really looked at the world. I mean, your mom went for the third rail constantly, and she was so successful doing it. I mean, I'm Jewish. She always told a lot of jokes about being Jewish, and I'm a big believer in the hilarity of self-deprecation, right? I mean, you got to be able to make fun of yourself or your culture. I mean, Chris Rock does it brilliantly. Mike Birbiglia does it. She did it so well.
I actually just had lunch with her best friend and her husband yesterday because they were in town meeting one of their one of their kids had another kid. They flew out to see the grandchild, the whole thing. And it was the first time that Steve met them.
Steve is your fiance. Yep.
And like we were saying, it's the first time I don't worry. Like I'm not concerned where he is or what he's doing or who he's talking to or, you know, if he says he's somewhere, he's actually there. You know what I mean? Like it's that kind of worry. And they said, you know, your mom would love him.
Oh.
And it's, you bring up the whole thing, it is we come from vastly different worlds. That for two people who both grew up in Los Angeles, vastly different worlds.
How so?
He's fourth generation Hancock Park. For those who don't know, you'll explain LACC, LA Country Club. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah,
such
yeah.
A vastly
okay,
different.
Not Beverly Hills Jewish.
Not even close.
Very waspy, very, very, very glass jawed with the T and the pinky up, right?
And, you know, it's interesting because he's adapted much more into our culture than I think he is. But when you bring up my mom, and it's like, yeah, you know, if you don't laugh, you're gonna die. And for someone who grew up with a very strict, you know, that's very waspy backbone, like even his sons are like, oh my God, we've never seen him have so much emotion. which is amazing. And I'm like,
right.
I don't think he's emotional. But again, I think one of the reasons it works is he's learned how to laugh at life or feels safe doing that now. And I learned that laughter is the only way to get through things because that's how my family dealt with things. And we have had a much darker sense of humor than I think people realized or what my mother did on stage. So I think that's what saves people. Like you brought up, she always went for the third rail. Yeah, you gotta laugh.
Oh yeah.
Like, as I say to Cooper, the world is not a safe space.
Cooper's your son.
Cooper's my son.
Whom your mom adored. I mean, your mom was Brooklyn born. You were born in New York, but then your family moved to LA when you were about 3 years old. When did you first become cognizant that your mom was really famous? She had a full-time job. I mean, not everybody's mom is on Johnny Carson at night. I mean, when did you sort of realize, wait a minute, this is different and special?
You know, again, everybody asks me that. And the answer is terribly disappointing, which is you don't. Because that's your normal.
Yeah.
That's your norm. My mother always worked. My dad always worked. My mother was always on TV or movies or stage. So that to me was, you know, normal. Now, you do realize at some point that your family's different than everybody else's family.
Right.
And that you go and do different things. And you were, I was always surprised at how interesting the things we did were to other people. But, you know, people always ask, well, do you wish your childhood was different or that you had a normal childhood? Mm. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't go live with the neighbors for a couple months and then come back and say, I like this better. It's what your normal is.
Her signature humor that probably got her noticed was that she was so blunt and, again, hilarious, always making fun of whether it's herself or anybody else in her purview, religion, everything. Her signature humor, but behind closed doors, how was she different?
Actually quite shy.
Really?
She felt tremendous pressure when she went out that because the real her was very smart, very elegant. I know people have sort of seen pictures of the apartment and this. And
oh, yeah.
Very ran in these very real society circles. Since everyone's been watching the Truman Capote one, like my mother was friends with Cece Guest. Mm-hmm. That was her whole world. Grant Cece was obviously older than my mom.
Very Palm Beach socialite.
That was the world she lived in. And it was so funny for me watching it because they bring up all these names. It's like all people that I know. She was always scared she was going to disappoint people by not being the person they're used to seeing on TV.
Sure.
Or on stage. Because, and very funny, but her real life sense of humor was very dark and also very sophomoric. She loved a good practical joke. She and my dad like lived for that kind of stuff. And she always did. She was always like, she and Cooper, nothing could make them laugh harder than a whoopee cushion. You know what I mean?
Very highbrow humor here.
Very highbrow humor. Like the sillier, the better. And she would get the giggles, and that would be that.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I want to talk about your life as you grew older. She wanted you to leave California during college. She wanted you to expand your horizons. You went to Pennsylvania for university, correct? And mm-hmm. What was that like? I mean, I went up north to Berkeley, so I stayed as a California girl. But
that's where my son is.
Oh, mazel tov! It's great. Is he protesting every day? Is he being Berkeley, as we called it, berserkly?
No, he's so, you know, I told him the other day, and I'm like, I don't mean this as an insult, but you are so incredibly normal. I'm like, I'm not saying there isn't something special about you, but you are exactly where you should be in your life. You're who you should be in your life. Like, I'm like, you're so normal.
Oh, that's a
which is great.
That's a reflection of good parenting, it feels like.
So no, he is not out protesting. He's, you know, something happened. I said, oh, did you hear about this? He's like, no. I said, how could you? He goes, how could you have not heard about it? And he's like, it's Berkeley. Someone's protesting something every day.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Like, he's like, it's
my
just a
era,
daily
occurrence. It was the anti-apartheid protests. And, you know, now when you see all that's going on campus there where, oh, you know, you had the, I believe it was the Palestinian students from the law school saying that they were going to ban anybody who was talking positively about Israel at the law school. Like, that was their idea of a safe space. And you think to yourself, how did we get here when Berkeley was this hotbed of free speech where you could go and say anything, and now you can't say anything? I mean, what? You can't listen to other people's opinions? And there's a great clip that circled recently after October 7th of your mom talking about, you know, the Palestinians and the violence and all of that. And she, it was as serious as I had ever seen her. And she was tough.
Yeah, I saw the clip. The clip still circulates.
Yeah, it's a good
one. What's interesting, you bring it up at Berkeley. I went to Penn.
Right.
And we know how well that went for the university.
Yeah.
You know,
their president was fired.
Embarrassing.
Fired for not saying that anti-Semitism is not okay and is not welcome on this campus. She wouldn't say it. Liz McGill, she got fired.
But there's a whole long thing that led up to that.
Absolutely.
That became very public with donors and things coming out. And to be honest, and I love Penn, and I had an amazing time there, and all my closest friends are my friends from Penn still. Two things struck me as amazing. As a business person, you don't your biggest donors when they call to say we're concerned.
That's the exactly.
Yeah, as a running a business, you don't do that. And then when you find out that another dean or someone very high up in the pecking order got a call from one of your largest donors and chose not to return it, could you imagine if that was the real business world?
Mm.
Ridiculous. So the joke is, I kept saying they need crisis PR. And someone who's very much enmeshed in the university still said, oh, well, they got it.
Oh.
I said, they don't need corporate crisis PR. They need a Hollywood crisis PR. This is an image problem.
Yeah.
And of course, no one listens to
me. Of course. But, well, who's going to listen to smart alums? By the way,
raising a child, as my mother used to say, no one listens to me. You're right. We totally went off track. But yes, so my mother was very outspoken, and that did circulate quite a bit. It's a really scary world. And my mom used to say to me, because she really cared about the environment, and she used to say, what a horrible world we're leaving you. Mm. And I look at my son and I say the same thing. What a terrible world we're leaving you. And it's sad. I know we've gone off on a very serious tangent where we're supposed to be laughing and joking, but that's what gets people through. I mean, to loop back to my mom, she used to say, when you make someone laugh, you give them a mini vacation. And I always said, if you can laugh with someone, you can't hate them. You can disagree.
Yes.
You cannot get along, but you can't hate someone you laugh with.
One of the funniest shows that she ever did involved you, and that was Fashion Police. I was obsessed with that, and I don't have a lot of time to watch TV because I'm news and I'm surrounded by televisions all day long, and when I get home, I'm like, okay, I cannot have all of this blaring, but I mean, pre-Oscars, who wanted to watch ABC? I was watching Fashion Police, but hysterically funny. How much fun did you have doing that, or was it very hard work?
That's a two-parter. The red carpet, all of it is hard work.
Yeah.
People think that what we did and what we do is so easy. And as you know, people think interviewing people is so easy.
I could do that. That's what they say.
Oh, please. It's easy. It's like, no, none of this is easy. So the red carpets were a ton of work leading into it. And then you could focus for 2 hours. The reason I loved being live is because then you were done.
It's in the
good, bad, or indifferent.
Yep.
You're done. And then Fashion Police, which was always our wrap up, we would turn that show so fast for the ones directly after the award shows, we would be shooting by 6 a.m. the next morning.
Oof.
So those were incredibly hard work to put the shows together in time to actually do the show.
What was your mom's process on those quips and those criticisms and those hilarious one-liners about certain dresses and what people wore?
She had her couple writers that she worked with, and we would get them the pictures as early as we could and as fast as we could. And they would start writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And my mom usually got about 2 hours sleep. And then she would go start getting into hair and makeup over at the studio and meet more with the writers. And everyone had typed everything out, that their jokes. And then she would go through and edit them all and change them and then figure out which ones they wanted to use and jettison the rest. And our poor teleprompter operator was flying, trying to get everything in to the last possible minute. And there were constant changes. And then she just did it. You know, but again, you're talking about a talent that no one else has. There's very few people who could do that and have the amount of material she had in that short amount of time.
How much did she work on the delivery?
It was her cadence.
Mm-hmm.
That's she didn't have to work on the delivery. Every now and again, she would find that she needed to change a word mm-hmm. or hit something a little differently. But at that point, especially, it was her rhythm was so ingrained in her. You know, comedy is a lot like music with the beat and the
timing,
melody and the harmony and how, and but that comes from the performer's style. Just like music does, you can tell one performer from another without knowing just by listening. And it's the same thing. And someone else tries to do someone else's material.
Not gonna
and
work.
It doesn't work
right.
because you don't have their delivery. And my mother had such an unusual and identifiable cadence. When anyone else tries to do her stuff, it doesn't work.
Cannot do it. She won a Grammy. She won a daytime Emmy. She was nominated for a Tony Award. That to me, because I'm a Tony Award voter. My mom was a Shakespearean theater actress. So we used to get yelled at in iambic pentameter. But, you know, she was, I mean, to me, watching the rehearsals and all of that, but a nightly Broadway show, that just, people don't even understand the energy and the effort that you have to put into something like that.
Her great love was theater. And she, whenever she got to go and perform and be in the theater, she said, always said, the theater is church to her. The most sacred, the most important, the where you have the most reverence. Mm. And she'd say, the theater is my church.
Who did she think was hysterically funny?
Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Whoopi. Adored Chris Rock.
Oh, my gosh. One of my favorites.
Thought he was beyond brilliant. You know, it's pretty much the ones you would expect. It's the ones that everyone thinks were funny. Some she liked better than others. Some she liked in certain categories. She thought Jackie Mason was hilarious, but in the Jackie Mason lane.
Yeah. I see that.
You know, so, but the ones that that transcended their lanes were definitely Whoopi, Robin, huge Chris Rock fan. So, and she really liked the contemporary, her contemporary comedians and the younger. She was always, and I run into it all the time. And Tiffany Haddish actually told me a story where my mom, she asked my mom how she thought she was doing. She was a young comic. And my mom said, you'll be fine, but you're not ready.
Hmm.
And she's like, she was right. She wasn't ready yet.
Well, they have to hone their craft on stage in little dive bars and comedy clubs, which is what your mom did and what you're doing now.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You have your own podcast, Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast, where you share your thoughts on whatever you and your friends are texting about. How'd you come up with the idea? How's it going? And what do you love about doing it?
I love doing it because I get to talk to all sorts of random people.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I have different friend groups and we're all talking about different things. And I thought, oh, there's something there because not everybody stays in one particular lane. The fun thing is, as it's sort of grown, I found myself doing a lot of celebrity interviews, which are so fun for me because I always said, I live with one foot in each world.
Mm.
So I've been an interviewer and I've been an interviewee. So it really becomes very conversational. And also because I can talk firsthand about certain things, about award shows, about pressures, about, I mean, just silly things. And I'm very, just like you, I'm an open book. So I can talk about grief and suicide and mental health and, oh God, being an empty nester and all these things. So it makes, I think, especially with celebrities, they're very comfortable and very, I just had Skeet Ulrich on. And we have kids the same age. And I was a mess when my son left for school. I slept in his room for 2 weeks because I couldn't stand walking by his empty room. And he's like, oh God, no, my kids, you know, they were ready and this. And I, yeah, it was kind of sad, but it's so great. And they're wonderful. And I'm like, come home, you know, mommy needs you. So I'm able to sort of say things to celebrities that most can't. But I love doing my reality stars, and I'm a big docu fan. I love having filmmakers from these really interesting documentaries that I watch, and anything Murder and Mayhem.
Oh, me too. Oh my God.
My mom was a huge Murder and Mayhem fan. I mean, we
like true crime.
I saw every episode as she did of Law and Order, and I'm not joking, like every single episode through the years up until probably about 4 years ago.
You're kidding. See, I'm a Dateline. I love the Dateline, the real stuff.
I could see the slug and I could tell you the whole thing.
Every single episode. I love
every single episode.
The Forensic Files.
Forensic Files is what we put with my mom when she was on the road would turn on Forensic Files and leave the TV on all night because she's like, that's
every half hour. Like, oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And Steve, that's one of the things we bonded over. When we first met, we both loved true crime, Murder and Mayhem.
Oh, yeah. But I love solved crimes. I love when they come back to get those guys after, you know, it becomes cold for decades. And then one tiny hair or a cell of skin ruins it for these idiots who thought they got away with murder. Okay, now our listeners think we're totally weird, but that's
it. You know what? All we always, our big joke is, I never want to be the person whose smile lights up a room.
Oh, right.
Because then for sure you're getting killed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's the first line. Her smile lit up the room. Oh, she would have given the coat off her back.
Yeah. There's everybody loved him.
God.
Apparently not, because someone's murdered him, but exactly. That's not here nor there.
As we finish up, I want to know how you feel the entertainment industry has changed and what your mom, if she were here today, would think about it. We're in this era where if comics make certain jokes, they risk getting boycotted or losing jobs, their career derailed. What would she have said about that?
Again, that's something I think a lot about. She took a lot of shit before anyone else did.
Yeah.
Because she did talk about very controversial topics. I think she would have been miserable. I honestly think she just would not have given a rat's ass and kept being her. But I don't know if that would have been possible. I don't think she would want to lose everything. I think she would be horrified about where we are as a society and that we are not allowed to have humor and we're not allowed to laugh at ourselves. And we're not, my mom used to open her show when she would be in the smaller clubs working out material and would walk out and start with a stream of every terrible name you could call any and every ethnic group. And then you'd hear the rumors go, and then she'd go, we're all something.
Yeah.
Now let's go.
I love that. It's true. We need to come back to laughing at ourselves. And that's why Chris Rock, I mean, he is hilarious. He's so like your mom when it comes to making fun of his ethnic group. I mean, come on, people, just laugh. As long as it's not like completely mean-spirited.
We know, for the most part, I'm making a big generalization because a lot of people don't, where the line is.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't, but most, I would say, but again, we all live in urban areas, so it's hard to know really what's going on in the heartland.
Right.
But I do believe that people really do know basically where the line is. And all of these things really come from far left and far right.
Extremism.
Specifically far left. And I'm a 100% centrist. I believe everybody's a little right, everybody's a little wrong.
Agree.
Like, enough. Like, you can be a little to the left, a little to the right. We can all still get along. It's called compromise, which we've lost the ability to do. But it's just everyone became so sensitive. And some groups, rightly, I thought Black Lives Matter, yeah, it was time to say enough. And I agree 100%. And my mother was someone who marched in the 60s. This is not, I believe that we all know the proper language to use with people. First of all, but also don't keep changing it on me because I'm getting very confused. And my Cooper's always like, Mom, you can't say that anymore. I'm like, but I could say it 2 weeks ago. He's like, yeah, it's changed.
Yeah, it's changed. It's changed.
It's changed again. But I just believe that she would be so sad. She'd be so sad. But truthfully, do you know what would have made her incredibly happy? The slap. She would have been like, come ahead and slap me because I'm getting a new house out of it. She's like, I have no problem with that. Please, come on. I need a vacation home.
God. You know, isn't it true that during the most difficult times, laughter, it really just changes the whole negative track. So let me just end by saying that you live on, she lives on in you, and it's so good to talk to you and to hear about your next chapters in your life and all you've been through. So thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you.
Melissa Rivers. You guys, go online. Just Google Joan Rivers Hilarious Jokes whenever you're feeling down, and you will literally cry. I mean, I was crying. There were some of them that were so hilarious that I could not even believe. I was totally choking. She made fun of Jewish stereotypes, which I thought was funny, because when you're a Jew, you got to make fun of being Jewish. And when she was talking about exercise, she said, I exercise. I mean, I don't exercise. I'm Jewish. If you want me to bend over, put diamonds on the floor. That's so classic. Anyway, congratulations and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Folks, it's so good to be back. I know I was only gone for like 4.5 seconds in the real world, but I do think about you, care about you. This audience is so special to me, and the fact that we are in the top 5% now of all podcasts, I have you to thank, my producer, Bailey Rabinowitz, and all of our incredible guests, Melissa included. So I am going to be right here for you. I hope you tell all your friends. Brag. Say, I helped Liz get up to the top 5%. And I'll see you Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox Biz.
Want to listen ad-free? You can do it with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And then Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.